the radio program Dialogue broadcasting an interview with John Scales-Avery about nuclear free zones in Scandinavia in the Arctic. The date of our interview with John Avery is the 6th of January 2014.
All right, so that was the answer with English, in English. I wonder if I can remember all that I said. I'll try to say the same thing in Danish. Arne, we have had conferences about working towards Arctic nuclear weapon-free zone, first in 2009, then in 2010, then in 2012, and then in 2013. And in most of those conferences, our present foreign minister, Holger K. Nielsen, participated. The conference in 2009 was in collaboration with the Danish Institute for International Studies. And that was a very big meeting, a two-day meeting. And experts came both from Australia, New Zealand, Canada. And Holger K. Nielsen gave a speech on the second day of the conference. He was not able to speak on the first because he had to go to the funeral of Svend Auken. But the second day he gave a speech. He participated also in the meeting in 2010 at the Danish Parliament. And that meeting, that was a meeting of the opposition parties. The meeting was arranged by my Pugwash colleague, Jens Christian Navarro Poulsen, and all of the leaders of the opposition parties were there. Margrethe Vestager, Jeppe Kofod, Holger K. Nielsen were all there. And we also had several experts who spoke. Jan Prowitz from Sweden, who is a big expert on nuclear weapon-free zones. And all of the speakers were strongly in favor of working towards an Arctic nuclear weapon-free zone. That was in 2010. And as a result, when the opposition parties came to power in Denmark, particularly because Margrethe Vestager advocated it, they had as a part of the foreign policy program the statement that Denmark would work in collaboration with its partners towards the establishment of an Arctic nuclear weapon-free zone. So that is part of the Danish government's present foreign policy statement. And we very much hope that in perhaps already this year, Holger K. Nielsen will do something to help promote this goal. Then in 2012 and 2013, we also had meetings at the Danish Parliament. In 2012, we had a meeting where Jeppe Kofod, Holger K. Nielsen, Sten Gade, Rasmus Helveg Petersen, Xenia Stamp, Nikolai Williamson, Christian Juhl, and Mette Bock represented the Danish Parliament, and where we had representatives from the embassies of Canada, Iceland, Norway, Sweden, and Finland. It was not the ambassadors who came, but usually the second in command at the embassies, the minister consular. And so the meetings were very productive. We had dinner afterwards at the canteen of the parliament, and the both during the formal discussions and during the dinner afterwards, a lot of progress was made and a lot of ideas were exchanged. One important idea was that we ought to put the issue before the United Nations General Assembly. So the thought was that a working paper on an Arctic nuclear weapon-free zone ought to be submitted to the United Nations General Assembly. And it now seems really more and more that the General Assembly is the place where progress can be made. because a very large majority of nations in the General Assembly are anxious to get rid of nuclear weapons completely. So I could perhaps mention that recently in Norway there was a conference on humanitarian aspects of nuclear weapons, and there will be a follow-up conference in Mexico, and the hope is that a nuclear weapons convention can be put to a vote on the floor of the General Assembly, where it would certainly pass, regardless of any opposition from the nuclear weapon states. So we've had many meetings, and we've done a lot of work towards this goal. One thing that we have also discussed is that a first step towards an Arctic nuclear weapon-free zone might be a Nordic nuclear weapon-free zone. And this idea has been discussed actually for many years. Quite recently, it's been brought up again in the Nordic Council by Christina Gastrin of Finland and Johan Lindener of Sweden, who urged that work towards a Nordic nuclear weapon-free zone be put on the agenda of the Nordic Council. So this is certainly a first step. Some of the objections to it are that several of the Nordic nations are members of NATO, and NATO has nuclear weapons. So it would be perhaps necessary to change NATO's nuclear weapon policy before we could have a Nordic nuclear weapon-free zone. But for sure, NATO's nuclear weapon policy ought to be changed. Yes, it's a big problem, and I think the time is right now to change NATO's nuclear weapon policy. As you know, American nuclear weapons are stationed several places in Europe, and the people of the countries where they are stationed have tried very hard to get rid of them. But the governments have, in all cases, not followed the will of the people. The presence of these nuclear weapons in the five NATO countries that have them, I think it's Holland, Belgium, Germany, Italy, and Turkey. This is a violation of the Nuclear Non-Proliferation Treaty. It violates several of the articles of the Nuclear Non-Proliferation Treaty, which forbids the transfer from nuclear weapon states to non-nuclear weapon states of these weapons. That's Article 1 and 2 that forbid it. Now, the situation is that the air forces of the countries that have these weapons are training actively in dropping them. So they have exercises regularly where the Air Force trains in how to deliver these weapons. And the people who defend the idea of United States weapons sitting in these countries in Europe say, well, in the event of a nuclear war, the Non-Proliferation Treaty would not hold, and therefore it would not be forbidden to transfer these weapons from USA to, let's say, Belgium or Holland or Germany. But in fact, there's nothing in the Nuclear Non-Proliferation Treaty that says that. There's nothing that says this will not hold in a crisis. It will hold always. It holds always. And therefore, the presence of these weapons and the fact that they're intended to be transferred to the air forces of these five nations at time of emergency is a violation of Articles 1 and 2 of the NPT Treaty. The policy of NATO respecting nuclear weapons says that it envisions keeping them forever. So there's nothing in the NATO statement that says, well, we're going to get rid of them as quickly as we can. Nothing like that. And that is a violation of Article 6 of the Nuclear Non-Proliferation Treaty, which says that the nuclear weapon states are obliged to get rid of their nuclear weapons as soon as possible. So it's a violation. Both the policy of NATO is a violation of Articles 1 and 2 of the NPT Treaty and also of Article 6. And it really ought to be changed. The presence of these tactical nuclear weapons in Europe is a relic of the Cold War, and they really serve no useful purpose at all, and they at the same time are a very great irritant to Russia, and a reason why Russia feels the need of keeping its own tactical nuclear weapons in place. So there are many, many strong reasons why NATO's policy ought to be changed, and that would, of course, make it possible to go ahead right away with a Nordic nuclear weapon-free zone. As you say, Arne, the Arctic is very rapidly becoming free of ice, and therefore all of the countries that are in the region, including USA and Russia and also the Scandinavian countries and Iceland and Canada, they're involved in the problem of shipping and extracting resources, and in fact there's a danger that the desire to extract resources from the Arctic region will lead to military confrontations there. The ecology of the Arctic is very fragile, and as Adele Buckley from Canada has emphasized in a lot of her speeches and publications, we don't have really the resources to both protect the ecology of the Arctic and also have a military confrontation there. So we have to choose the path of cooperation and demilitarization instead. This is a very important question. In fact, Holger K. Nielsen, in his various speeches, has emphasized the fact that the Arctic will become increasingly important in foreign relations because of the competition for resources. And therefore, he believes that it should be an issue of priority in Danish politics. Right now, in fact, the issue of mining in Greenland is very much in the forefront of debate in the Danish Parliament, because the mining of metals in Greenland also produces as a byproduct uranium ore. So one can almost not avoid producing uranium ore by mining other metals in Greenland. And the question being debated now is whether the 1957 prohibition against nuclear weapons, which is still in force, which Denmark has, also forbids the mining of uranium ore. So that is a question that is actively being debated in the Parliament right now. But we hope that the sentiment will strongly support a demilitarized Arctic, and so the danger of military confrontation in connection with resource competition will be avoided. I think that the peace movement can have a big influence on what the politicians do. I know that present Foreign Minister Holger K. Nielsen is very interested in what we are saying and thinking. In fact, he is a member of our board, of the board of our Danish Pugwash group. And some years ago, before he became so busy, we used to have our meetings in Christiansborg so that he could attend the meetings. And he still continues to be very interested. I think the same that can be said for Pernille Frahm. She is a member of the board of our Danish Peace Academy, and she comes to our meetings sometimes. So she is very interested in what we are thinking, and I think that the peace movement in general can have influence on politics. We just have to try to maintain some kind of contact with the politicians. It takes a little effort, but I think the effort is very much worthwhile. An Arctic nuclear weapon-free zone with Scandinavia as a first step, and that is, in that paper, it's reference 23. Cindy Vestergaard, editor, Conference on an Arctic Nuclear Weapon-Free Zone, Copenhagen, 10 to 11 August 2009. And then report, DIAS report 2010 /03. And if you just type DIAS report 2010 /03 into Google, you get immediately the PDF file of the report. I just want to say that I admire your work, Arne, with alternative media very, very much. I think it's so much needed to have an alternative media, because our mass media have failed us so completely. They failed us in giving a real picture of the crisis that we face today in the 21st century. And therefore, it is really heroic and very, very much needed work that you are doing to bring out to large numbers of people the truth about the problems that the world is facing today. So thank you again for the interview, Arne. I have a book called Crisis 21, and that is on the Peace Academy's website. I have another book called Collected Essays, which is also on the Peace Academy's website. And I can send you the links to both of them, but you can also probably find them there on the Peace Academy.
Thank you, John Elway.